Ladies and gentlemen, back with you on the Tony Basilio Show. I'm going to tell you what right now. Now, Stephen Garcia is pro. When I said back, he turned from his... Now, who's your boy over here? Duck Dynasty.
That's
that is
Cousin Ty right there. Grew up together with him.
You're taking care of him. That's good stuff. He's taking care of you. You're taking care of him.
Yep.
You never forget.
Never forget.
Stephen, talk to me here. As you go around Radio Row here, and you're promoting Saturday Down South.
Yep, that's who me and Cousin Ty are working with now.
Okay. What's this experience been like for you 3 days in? You're fried, man. No offense to you.
It's been exhausting. It's been wild. But, you know, like I said, I'm having fun doing it. So, but it is exhausting. I got to sneak a nap in at every chance I can.
You're not getting any younger, man.
I know. It's a good time, though. It's interesting.
How many of these so far have you done? You have any idea?
No.
I mean, do they count? This guy here is snapping pictures of you.
Yeah.
There you go. It's like...
Cousin Ty's had the privilege of doing all the scheduling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guarantee you we've done probably close to 30.
There's no doubt.
I mean, I could be way off, but I've lost count.
One of the guys that interviewed you said, because you're a guy, you know, you kind of have a past, if we can say that.
Yeah.
And they said he doesn't shy away from it. He is who he is.
You can't. I mean, it is what it is. You know, I made my mistakes. I got to face it like a man and, you know, try to learn from them.
I tell you what kills me about the media, and I'd like your thoughts on this. The media wants people to be themselves, right? One thing we all complain about in my business is, because a lot of these coaches have learned, they're coached. By the time you get here, they're coached, and they coach your players.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Everybody's got to say the safe thing. Be safe. Very few Charles Barkleys out there that say what's on their mind. Johnny Manziel came in here last year, and a lot of these old men acted like he was some kind of pariah, some kind of bad dude.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was himself. I look at a Johnny Manziel and I say, come on, hypocrites.
Yeah.
You people were 20 years old once. What did you think when you saw the whole Johnny circus or the circus around him?
It's got to be tough for him, you know? You know, he really can't do anything without somebody either taking it negatively or positively or taking a picture of him or really anything. So I do feel bad for him.
Was it like that for you?
Not as bad. Pictures. Not as bad as Johnny, but it was.
But you were starting quarterback in the SEC.
Yeah,
there was high profile.
Definitely times where I had to tell people, put your phones away. You know, stop. It's what are you doing? You know, but it's part of the game. You know, being in the SEC, especially, is that everybody wants to see the quarterback. Everybody wants to hang out with the quarterback, and it is what it is.
There's no manual for it. I mean, you can't prepare. It was hard for you to say no to people. Hey, come to my party. Come here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a social guy. You know, I like hanging out with people and meeting new people. So it was a little difficult. And, you know, that's what's kind of been fun about this is I've been meeting a lot of cool people and, you know, getting my story out. So I'm having fun with it.
And your story is what, as you see it?
Well, that I was just a kid, a hard-headed kid when I was at South Carolina. And, you know, I wish I would have listened to Coach Spurrier and kind of heeded his advice a little bit more and, you know, made some different decisions. But that was an experience of a lifetime playing for him and playing at that level and getting a chance to play in the SEC and getting a chance to play in the SEC championship game.
That's incredible, isn't it? I mean, we were talking about that. That guy and his organization, whatever, what is it about him? He wins everywhere he goes. It doesn't matter if it's USFL. And the only place he didn't win was in Washington. And that's because he's hard-headed. He wasn't going to change. But otherwise, everywhere he goes, the guy wins.
He's a great recruiter, and he's a great coach. I mean, you look at his resume. I mean, why would you not want to play for him? He's hard on quarterbacks, though. He is.
It's impossible on quarterbacks. It's got to be impossible to play for.
It was difficult. It was challenging. And I think why Connor had so much success is because he's –
back, and now we're back on our big rig here as we talk with him today on the show. And he's with Saturday Down South, which is a website I link to a lot at TonyBasilio.com. They've got a lot of great stuff. and they're really ramping up their content. And you guys are really committed. You guys have basically taken this thing over and have dominated this deal. It's like a guerrilla marketing 101, 102, 103. It's like all the years of guerrilla marketing all rolled into one. It's like the mini term from hell. Steven, I go back to your career. When you were on the field, my producer said this before we got started, Brian Hartman. He said, man, I love that guy. I love the way he played. He said Garcia seemed like he's a guy that just went out there and played that game like a kid, like we would all play it. You loved every minute of it, didn't you?
Oh, I loved every single second of it. And, I think that's just part of who I am. I like having fun, and I loved playing football. And I think that sometimes Coach Barrett didn't really like the fact that I played it, so recklessly.
Right.
But, that's part of just who I was, and hopefully that's...
You got to be who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going back to the Johnny football comparison, and obviously he got there, and he blew up, and he did all these things and won the Heisman and all this stuff. But in a way... That's kind of the way you approach the game. Like, you're a gunslinger. I'm going to throw the ball around. I'm going to drive you crazy. I'm going to the line of scrimmage, and if I see something, I'm changing it.
Yep.
And every once in a while, I'm going to force something where it doesn't belong. I mean, you aged that guy, didn't you? Tell me a couple Spurrier stories, how you aged him.
Oh, man, I saw that visor on the ground several times coming off a turnover or something, and he didn't say the most pleasant things to me, but, like you said, I tried forcing the ball sometimes.
What's your dumbest turnover? Like on the field, what's the dumbest thing you did? You said, man, when I go over here, this guy's going to kill me. When we see the film together, I'm going to get murdered.
I would say Vanderbilt, my senior year, I was rolling to the right, mm-hmm. right by the sideline, and there was really nobody open. Mm-hmm. I'm getting close to the sideline, and I try to force a comeback or something to A. Sanders. And I threw it right to a Vanderbilt defensive back. And I go over there, and he's like, I can't tell you exactly what he said, but it was along the lines of, what were you thinking? So, yeah, that was probably my dumbest turnover I think I've ever had.
Now, he's a son of a preacher. Is he a blue language guy? Does he get hot during the game?
Oh, yeah, he does. But he during the meetings and practice, he'll catch himself before he slips up. But during the games, he's a
competitive
guy.
Right? Yeah,
competitive
that's
guy,
it. He's a man.
If it slips, it slips.
And he's a man.
And we've had our cussing battles before.
Now let me ask you something about Spurrier. When you were a young kid, and he's trying to tell you, hey, Steven, and he's so hard on quarterbacks. Did you hate the guy when you were playing for him? Did you ever wake up and go, man, I'd like to get that guy alone, and I'd like to whip him?
Every now and then I'd probably feel like that, but at the same time, he was mainly right, and I was in the wrong. And, me just being hard-headed, I never really understood that until, I look back and reflect on my career there. But like I said, we have a very good relationship right now, and, hopefully we'll be able to stay friends for as long as possible.
Give me a Spurrier. Give me a couple good Spurrier stories.
Yeah, I'll tell you one. Having my first day at practice at South Carolina back in 2007, okay. We're walking to the practice field, the proving grounds, as we called it.
Yeah.
And I was walking, it was either with Chris Smelly or Blake Mitchell, mm-hmm. who are the veteran quarterbacks. And we get there, and I look over, and I see Coach Spurrier with no shoes on and no shirt on. Mm-hmm. So I'm tapping the guys. I'm like, hey, what's going on with Coach over there? He said, yeah, if the weather's nice, he's going to have his shirt off and get a little sun. So we're doing the little pre-practice warm-up. And I said, Coach, how you doing? He's like, I'm good. I'm good, Garcia. Just catching some rays, young Garcia. And I was just like, what did I get myself into? But, those are, we have plenty of stories. And
Spurrier's sunning, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
He's sunning.
Getting a little tan.
He seems like a pretty, I don't want to say vain guy, but anybody who takes care of themselves like that cares about their appearance.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this guy.
He still works out.
He's in unbelievable shape, right?
He is.
I mean, the stuff we read about him running 5 miles and running the stadium steps and all this nonsense, that's a lie, though, right? There's no way he's doing that. At the age of 60, whatever he is, there's no way he's doing it.
He's on the treadmill, and he's working out with the medicine balls and all that. I kid you not. He's wearing a little bandana doing it.
Could he blow you out right now, like in a workout?
No. No. But
how about him? How about your cousin? Could he blow him out and work out?
I don't think so. He's in pretty good shape.
Yeah, he looks like he's in pretty good shape. I don't want to mess with him.
But Doug, yeah, I've never seen him do any of the stadium steps. But other, I mean, he is in the gym and he is getting a nice little sweat on.
He doesn't care. He walks in here and tries to gig people.
Oh yeah.
Does he do that to his players? Does he? He seems like the kind of guy that's always needling people.
He likes to poke the bear. Does just enough to get under your skin, but yeah. At the same time, it's a friendly conversation. And you know, just that when he refers me to be in Duck Dynasty, you know, that's a little poke, but it's funny, and I'm not getting offended by it.
I think
it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, I need to grow my beard out a little bit longer, I think. So, but he's a good guy, and he's a genuine guy. And that's, I don't know if people realize that about him. He is very genuine, and he really does care about his players.
Because a lot of guys today don't.
Yep.
You feel that way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think a lot of these, I don't know if it's coaches or just people in general, just sometimes it's all about the business. They don't really care about the personal side of it. And I think Coach Burr he's a very genuine guy.
There's, at the end of the day, too much money in it, right?
There's a lot of money, and the players are not receiving any of it, unfortunately.
Your feeling, because it's going to change. What's your feeling on it right now?
As far as the pay for play, I mean, I absolutely think the players deserve it. You know, I don't know how the solution or how they're going to solve it. But I absolutely think that these players are bringing in so much money for these universities. I don't see why we couldn't get paid, or why if a booster decides to pay us money, why couldn't we accept it, you know, without being suspended or any of that.
Here's the thing I like, because I've had people, you know, I've been doing this 20 years. And, you know, you do as long as I have. You've seen a little bit of everything. I've had people say to me, Stephen, hey, I saw so-and-so getting paid, or so-and-so at such-and-such school is driving this car. And you know what my reaction to that is? If somebody likes my show enough that they call me up and say, hey, I want to give you a couple $1,000. You make me laugh. You get me through the day.
Yep.
You know what I'm doing? I'm holding my hand out, and I'm saying, God bless you.
Yep.
And if I come from a background where mom lives in a trailer, which happens to me, or a one-bedroom apartment, and somebody wants to give me $8,000, you mean to tell me I'm not going to take
that?
That's ridiculous.
It's insane. It is absolutely insane.
While my coach is making millions of dollars, you got coordinators now making over $1 million.
Oh, yeah. Dollars. Yep. And I'll tell you what, that's another thing with Coach Spurrier is everybody heard his reaction to it, and he said, hell, I'd pay him out of my own paycheck. I'd pay my
players. I believe that.
And he absolutely would. I'm telling you, he's a genuine guy, and he really does care about his players. And I've never heard any other coach say that.
No.
I mean, there are coaches that agree with him that the players should be paid, but never said they'll pay him out of their own paycheck.
I'll tell you something about Spurrier early in his career. Before this big money, the money they gave him a raise in Florida, Jeremy Foley. And he went to them and said, I want to take some of my money and split it up for my coaches. I want them to get in on this too.
Yep. And he does.
Very few of those guys are like that. Very few.
Same thing at South Carolina. He made sure all of his assistants were taken care of.
So how are we going to pay players? What are we going to do? I mean, you say you don't know what it's going to look like, but here's my thing. Here's what I want to do. You tell me if it's a good idea or a bad idea. Poke some holes in me here, because I'm going to talk to Mike Slide today. He's not going to like me, because I'm going to say, look, you guys are taking advantage of this deal, and they're pulling the soul out of college football, but they want to have it both ways. You can't have it both ways.
Yep.
You've already professionalized it.
Yep.
You're not going back, so it's time to get in line and pay some people. I say this to you, Stephen Garcia, you come to my school, you play 4 years, I'm giving you your scholarship, so if you want to get an education, you can, or you want to stay eligible, whatever happens there, you do what you need to do. We're all adults here. You stay at my school, you stay out of trouble, I'm giving you $50,000 a year. You stay on my team for 4 years, I'm giving you $200,000 at the end of that with an opportunity for you to start your life. Plus, I'm going to cover any football-related injury that you have for life, because I need to do that.
I think
because
it's
morally right. Is that a bad place to start?
Not at all. But the only problem with that is you got the Title IX issues, and you got, you know, these. You know, I don't know how you do it, because you got to pay every athlete the same.
I'm breaking you off. No, what I'm going to do is, see, they're going to do this anyway.
But where's that money come from?
I'm going to my super conference.
Yeah,
it's private money.
I agree.
So we're going to have Division IV, and we're going to have 60 teams that are going to play in their own league. And that's your deal.
I think that needs to happen. I think we actually talked about this last night. I think you need two of these major conferences to get out of the NCAA. Start through the SEC.
And they're going to do it.
I absolutely hope so.
Let me bring Sean Sinclair in here, who's been listening. He's in studio with us. Does he have... Okay, Cinco, get in here. You got about a minute left. Say something to Stephen Garcia. I know you want to.
Stephen, I've enjoyed listening to your interview here with Tony, and I definitely do remember you at South Carolina, and so hopefully I wish you all the best of luck in your new endeavor. As a South Carolina fan, obviously, you guys are seeing what, in my lifetime, what I can remember, just unprecedented success, continued success with Coach Spurrier. And I really wonder, you know, do the Gamecock fans take that for granted now? Because Tennessee is going through a low period, and we have for a little bit, where we were on top in the 90s. And Spurrier doesn't have an infinite shelf life. Are you guys really appreciating what's going on there right now at South Carolina? Or is it just this is the way we roll, and it's just going to keep on going?
I think it varies. You know, you have some fans that are – not as intelligent as other ones, to be quite honest with you. And
most of them are listening to me.
I think the players and the coaches are definitely appreciative of what's going on with the support. And, you know, there was times where South Carolina, I think they lost 21 straight games or something like that, and they said they sold out the stadium every single game. So, you know, it is a lot different from when I first got there. Even in 2007, the atmosphere of Columbia and the talent that they have and the coaching staff they have, it's night and day. So, you know, I think that there will be continued success.
Hey, Stephen, continued success to you. Everything you guys are doing at Saturday Down South, man, you guys are in the box and you're swinging for the fences, and I love that. Great seeing you, man.
It. Thank you very much.
Hey, nice real pleasure, man. God
Absolutely.
Bless to you, brother.
Thank you very much.
Good luck to you.
This was fun.
All right, man. Stephen Garcia, one more time, and we need to do more of this more often, man. My people will get with your people. Great, Stephen Garcia. Good seeing you, man.